Hello, everyone. You are listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast presented by Great Railing. I am Jordan Hall, and as always, I am joined by the dynamic Joe Fordyce. We have a fun podcast today featuring a very special interview with Zach McEwen. Our very own Taron Hatcher went sat down one-on-one with Zach to talk about his playing style and all types of things Flyers. So we'll have that in the podcast, but of course, we will also be looking at what the Flyers are going through right now with March heating up. The trade deadline is on the 21st, and the team continues to pick up really tough, gut-wrenching losses. Joe, the latest 5-4 loss to the Wild, in which they blew a 4-3 lead. 2 days before that, they lost to the Oilers, 3-0, shut out. Joe, where do you think this team is in terms of frustration level, focused? Obviously, the management is totally focused on next season, but the players, the roster, where do you think things are right now for this group?
Well, I think you saw it come out last night after the Jonas Brodin goal that put the Wild ahead. You kind of saw Hart giving his defenseman a look and vice versa, and there was some miscommunication and screens and all kinds of stuff that happened on that goal. You don't love to see that sort of body language on the ice, and you definitely saw it after that goal. And I think that kind of sums up where this team is right now. I think everybody is at a loss. They're kind of wondering what they are right now. They don't know what their identity is. Every game it's something different. There's a low scoring, They have trouble scoring against Edmonton. And then last night they put in a bunch of goals and then they can't keep Minnesota off the board. So it seems to be every game there seems to be a different kind of poison that is that trickles down through this roster. And, last night in particular, I don't know about if your takeaway was the same as Jordan, but last night was the angriest and most animated I've seen Mike Yeo since he took the job with what he said after the game. He clearly was unhappy. He said they weren't good all game. And he basically said the turnover started from the drop of the puck, which they did. You saw Provorov with a rough turnover on the one goal. And they were happening throughout the game. I mean, truthfully, Minnesota could have scored eight or nine goals last night, and it wouldn't have taken much more effort than what they did. Carter Hart just made some stops. There were a lot of turnovers, a lot of sloppy play. And I feel like that's what happens when teams feel – when the ball starts rolling downhill on a team, I just feel like everybody plays like they're anticipating the next thing that's going to go wrong and who's going to make the next mistake. Individually, guys are – anticipating the next wrong move they're going to make. And I kind of feel like that's where this team is right now. And it's almost this feeling of, and it's the feeling I get watching them, and I'm sure you do too, is no matter what this team can't do, at times it feels like anything right.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Yeah, it really does. And Joe, I agree with you. Mike Yeo was certainly, that was one of his more, I thought, animated and emotional press conferences. He's done a good job of striking a balance between staying positive and knowing when to criticize. You have to when you're dealing with the situation that the Flyers are in. I mean, they're 16-28-10. That's 16 wins, 38 losses. So you have to, you can't lambast these guys and freak out after every loss, but you do need to pick and choose spots. And you could tell he was frustrated with that loss. Understandably so. crucial turnovers. That was all self-inflicted, all of it. A 4-3 lead goes into a 5-4 deficit within 25 seconds. And there was a brutal turnover by Ivan Provorov on the game-tying goal. The Flyers couldn't clear the zone on the go-ahead goal for the Wild. These are things that can be prevented if a team is a little more composed, a little more confident, and is a winning team. And the Flyers are not a winning team. So you see winning teams like the Wild, a team that's in a playoff spot, make winning plays, and you see a losing team, what Mike Yeo said, crumbled when adversity hit. And that was his quote: as adversity struck, we crumbled. And that was Mike Yeo saying it as it is. Good for him. That's exactly what happened. It's at the point where you're right. You're expecting something bad to happen in the third period.
Yeah, and I would just say, I was about to bring up the quote you just referred to. That to me sounds like he's, questioning the character of the team. Adversity hits and we crumble. He has not said anything like that since he took over. And I know last night when we were running that on postgame, we all had the same reaction, like, wow. There's no two ways about it. He really laid it on the line after the game last night and questioned what this team was all about right now. And, it was surprising. I don't know that I would call it refreshing, because it's not like, in order for it to be refreshing, I feel like there has to be an opportunity for this team to do something for it to be refreshing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they can go get wins and all, but obviously, as you said, this is about next season and it's about the future. So, I kind of felt like what he did last night kind of just piled on to the rest of the stuff from this season, but there is something good about seeing a guy that you're not used to doing that, just kind of lay it all out there. And not sugarcoat things. And he certainly did not do that last night.
Yeah, instead of saying the same things over and over again, like that would just get boring and repetitive and just like, what's the point of this if he's just going to say the same stuff? Oh, we need to be better. But no, Mike Yeo is very articulate. And he's been very honest either way, good or bad. He knows when to be positive, knows when to be negative, and I got to give credit to that. He's very interesting after every single game. When a lot of the games are similar losses, where they're blowing a lead or falling short in crunch time, and that's what is kind of amazes me a little bit. There's been a number of games with this team, especially when it was not as healthy as it is. It's gotten healthier. Obviously, they're still missing crucial pieces. But even before it got healthier, there was times where I would go into these games where they're playing a top team in the division or a top team in the league, and I'm like, they have no business being in this game, and I have a feeling it could get out of hand. And then boom, they're in the game in the third period. It's either they have a lead or it's a tie game, and I'm like, wow, like kudos to Mike Yeo. Like, he is getting them to play hard and getting them to believe they can win, and they're actually in these games. I found it very interesting, Joe, going into this game, the Wild have 30-plus wins. They're in a playoff spot. Flyers, 16 wins, far from a playoff spot. Flyers were actually better in their last 10 games than Minnesota coming in. Minnesota was 3-7-0. The Flyers were 3-5-2. And that showed me that the Flyers had made some progress. They were making some progress. Mike Yeo has them playing more structured, has them in games. So they had made progress. To the point where they were better than the Wild in the last 10 games. So that said a little something to me. And Mike Yeo even said it at practice the other day. He said he didn't want to take any solace in the fact that they're in games and that they're close to beating good teams. He said it's at the point where it should piss the Flyers off that they're not winning more games. And he was pretty animated, he was pretty animated there too about like it should really tick us off that we're not winning games now because we've been in too many games to this point. That's a recurring theme that they're actually in games. The next step should be actually winning. And it's a shame because they were really close to winning on Thursday night against a team that's fighting for a playoff spot. But Joe, if you can think of any positives, we obviously hit on a lot of negatives. It's been a negative season. That would be probably sugarcoating it, to be quite honest. Any positives that you've seen over the last two games as the Flyers continue this 8-game homestand?
I would say I thought Rasmus Ristolainen played a really good game last night. He made several plays that prevented offensive opportunities. He was a physical presence. He's always a physical presence, but I really thought his play stood out. And you wonder what the future holds for Rasmus and this team. But I do think that he is he's still playing hard and he's out there. He's battling for his teammates. And, like I said, he made several good plays last night. So I was impressed with his play last night. And I thought it was a positive to see Konechny score a goal. Yeah. And go to the goal scoring areas like he did on the goal that he scored, because I know the Edmonton game everybody was kind of all over him about the opportunity where it seemed obvious that he should have shot the puck and he tried to pass it into traffic and it ended up with nothing. So it was good to see him score a goal as well. So those would be my couple positive takeaways for me.
That's good stuff. Yeah, with Rasmus Ristolainen, I found it very interesting, Joe, that in Tuesday's game, the 3-0 loss to the Oilers, he played more minutes than Ivan Provorov, and so did Travis Sanheim, which I honestly can't remember the last time Provorov didn't lead the Flyers' defense in minutes in a game. If I had to think about it, it was a while ago when I think he had like 10 or so penalty minutes, so he was in the box, and I think that would maybe be the last time, but really, it just never happens, and I thought that was, wow, Mike Yeo really trusted Ristolainen and Sanheim, that pair, to go out there and play bigger minutes than Ivan Provorov. Maybe it's also Mike Yeo trying to take a little bit off of Ivan Provorov's shoulders. I think he's wearing a lot on his back right now. Losing is starting to bother him, and I think the frustrations of the season, his play and the team's play, is kind of starting to show on the ice. Would you agree with that, Joe, about Provorov?
Yeah, I would say he, more than anybody, kind of encapsulates what I talked about earlier about guys playing, anticipating the next thing that they're going to do wrong. Because this is not the kind of player he is. He's not every game, it seems like every single game he makes a turnover that we're all like, what is going on? And that only can be described by a guy who I kind of, and these guys are totally different players, so I'm not comparing the players, but it's almost like how Shane Gostisbehere, when he was on this team, remember how his confidence was so crucial in how he played. I'm starting to feel like Ivan Provorov, I'm not saying he's as teetery with the confidence, but I'm starting to see similarities in that the confidence is low, so bad plays come along with the confidence being low. And, because we're just seeing frankly, inexplicable play from Provorov, and we're seeing it almost every game. A guy that maybe doesn't trust his game, doesn't trust what he's going to do next, and as I said, anticipating the next thing that's going to go wrong for him in his game and not only just the team.
Yeah, it's puzzling. It really is. Because you're just so used to seeing him be durable and consistent. Everyone's going to make a mistake from time to time, but it seems like you're seeing mistakes come from Provorov more than anybody else. So yes, it is. It makes you scratch your head a little bit. I'm sure it has Mike Yeo and the coaching staff thinking long and hard about what they can do to help him and how they can help him help the team. Because there's been times where he's hurt the team. It's just as honest as you can be. He has hurt the team in times. To the point where, yeah, he even played fewer minutes than Ristolainen and Sanheim the other game. And maybe that just shows you how much they need Ryan Ellis and how much Provorov needs, a top pair guy with him. Justin Braun's played really well, really steady alongside Provorov this year. He's turned into, obviously, a very clear-cut trade chip for the Flyers, a guy that teams are going to want at the deadline. But I think he would even admit at this stage of his career, he's not a top pair defenseman. He's probably better suited in a second or third pair role. So Provorov, certainly, I think it's been shown that he needs someone on his side that's a bona fide top guy to make him a top guy too.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
But Joe, let's get into our Zach MacEwen interview with our very own Terran Hatcher, a very fun player who was claimed off waivers this year, and I think he's carving out a role in the Flyers lineup next season. I think he's been a guy that fans have really enjoyed. Let's get into that interview. Flyers fans, we hope you enjoy.
All right, Zach, so starting with what the conversation, I'm sure everybody always wants to start with you. Dropping the gloves, I think you have 7 fights in 51 games as a Flyer, and some of them are against Chara or Tom Wilson the other night. Is there anybody you won't fight?
No, not really. Different situations call for, different times of games, and, it's something that's, I don't mind doing. I'll always step up and answer the bell, if I have to, and I think it's just part of my game, and, it's something I'm not going to get rid of.
It's also something that Flyers fans here have kind of...
That's it, Joe.
There you go. Can you...
Thank you. Brutal timing.
I know. I'm going to give him so much shit for that. Okay. Back to the fighting. It's something that Flyers fans here have been kind of hungry for a long time. It's a big part of Flyers' identity as far as their legacy goes, but it's not something that fans have seen a lot of over the past few years. What's the kind of response you feel like you get when you're at home, you're at the Wells Fargo Center, and you're willing to just go at it?
Oh, I feel the love for sure. The fans here are great. Ever since I got here, I just, remember that feeling of, the first time, fighting in that rink, and just the absolute, electric energy coming from the fans, and, people reaching out to me on social media, just with well wishes, and, I see all that stuff, and, I appreciate that from fans a lot, and, it's the kind of player I am, and, they deserve, the best every night, and, they're paying to watch those games, so, I want to, do something that's going to be memorable for them, and, makes them deserve, that support I get.
Is there a way that you train for that aspect of your game? Because we've seen you over at practice a few times, like, teaching other guys, and us up in the writer's room get a good giggle out of watching you teach some of the smaller guys how to maybe square up, but how do you prepare for that aspect of your game, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, you can train it just like anything else, any other part of hockey. In the summer you do some boxing, and, you do, just some different drills and stuff to, just get a good feel for, throwing punches and trying to avoid getting hit in the face, I guess. But yeah, those, when you see that in practice, it's just, some guys just want to learn stuff, and in case the opportunity ever arises, you want to know what to do. And, there's just little things to think about that you can do during a fight that, not everybody might know, but, it might help you, get the upper hand on someone, or even just protect yourself a little more.
I only have a few more questions about fighting, and I promise we'll actually talk about hockey. Is what goes through your mind as you're getting ready to basically saddle up and go at it with somebody? Do you black out? Are you totally in the moment?
No,
big nod from you.
Completely black out.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't know what happened until after, pretty much.
That's hilarious.
It's kind of just, you see red and, you know, just whatever happens, happens, I think is kind of the way I've always done it.
Is there any particular fight that sticks with you where you're like, that one really hurt, or I'm really proud of that performance?
Most of them end up hurting, like after the fact. There's always some good fights that, you know, you're happy with. There's some, you know, some not so good ones that you're not happy with, but you know, anything can happen in a fight. So, you know, to come out with your eyes open and you know, skating off under your own power is, you know, is a win. So I think.
When we talk about the fourth line with this team, there's been a lot of moving parts, guys in and out. You've kind of been the main constant, though, especially as the line has established kind of a bigger, more physical identity, which is something Mike Yeo has absolutely sung, you know, your praises, Isaac Ratcliffe's praises, whether it's Bunneman or now Patrick Brown coming in. How do you see that line? How do you guys feel like, let me rephrase this question here. What is it that you're trying to establish out there? Because obviously it's tough when you're a fourth liner and you're not seeing as much ice time to go out and consistently try to play with that identity.
Yeah, so, you know, you want to build momentum for the team. You know, you want to be a reason why you're bringing energy to the team and not taking it away. So, you know, it's doing little things and, you know, just creating opportunities, getting the puck in the ozone, having a good shift down there. You know, obviously, you know, it's a tough league to score in, and, you know, everybody knows that, especially, you know, if you're not getting, like, a whole lot of ice. So, you know, I think it's just being reliable for the coaches that, you know, they want you out there. You know, you want to give energy to the guys on the bench and, you know, just try to help the team any way you can.
At what point and how do you feel like you were able to figure out playing that role, being a guy who can come in and instantly inject physicality and energy? At what point in your career do you feel like you figured out how to work that role?
Probably when I realized that I wasn't going to score goals every night in the NHL. You know, a lot of guys that played fourth lines in the NHL, you know, they were, you know, always skilled guys growing up and, you know, on their club teams they played in through junior. You know, once you realize that, you know, this is how you're going to make a living, and I think that's how I realized it, you know, how I'm going to stay in the NHL and how I'm going to, you know, be a contributor to a team. Once I found that out, I'm more than willing to do that. And, you know, I get to play hockey every day for a living and I love it. So it's, you know, you can't complain about that.
Was that something that was difficult for you to embrace at all or no?
No, not really. I mean, of course, you know, you'd love to score goals every night. You know, it's just the competitive nature of hockey players wanting to, you know, always, you know, contribute, score goals and produce points. But there is, you know, within the game of hockey, there's a large role for, you know, guys like me and guys, you know, that grind it out and, you know, are good around the room and, you know, try to bring energy to the team and, you know, be a positive teammate. I think there's, you know, a huge role for a lot of guys on teams like that.
When did you realize you could be like a big body physical guy? Because I'd read an article that said that for a while you were like 5'9" and smaller side of things and then just had a massive growth spurt. When do you feel like you changed your game to have that kind of tone?
I grew, you know, pretty late. I think, you know, it's probably one of the reasons I was never drafted or anything. But, when I 20-year-old year when I was playing junior, you know, I realized that I was, you know, I was scoring goals and, you know, I was playing physical and I was using the physicality to, you know, create room for myself and, you know, it was giving me success. So I think, you know, kind of once I put that all together and then coming into the American League the next year and, you know, trying to figure that out against, you know, pros, I think, you know, that first year pro is really when I figured that out. I had a lot of help through the coaching staff and my American League team there too. It was, you know, leading me in the right direction and telling me, you know, ways I'm going to have success in the league.
And then finally, what has this adjustment to Philly been like for you? Obviously, I know we talked off camera about how lovely Vancouver is as a city, and I'm from here, so I think Philly's beautiful in its own way. But adjusting to the city and the team, obviously, there's been struggles. But how have you navigated that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Vancouver, like you said, it's a beautiful place. You know, great place to live. You know, and also I'm Canadian too, so that was another part of it. But you know, coming down here, everybody was, you know, everybody, especially on the team, was so good to me. It was a really easy transition, you know, coming into the team, which I think just made things easier, kind of transitioning to into you know, into Philly, you know, the city life too. So. No, I think it was. I think it was a smooth transition. You know, I'm extremely happy to be here. I love it here, and you know, it's. I think it's a great fit for me.
Flyers Talk is brought to you by Great Railing. Stop into Great Railing for the highest quality and lowest prices on all your railing, decking, and fencing needs. Great stuff there from Taron Hatcher and Flyers winger Zach McEwen. Joe, I think McEwen's really starting to make himself at home here. I think he enjoys it here. I think fans enjoy himself here. Next year, or in the offseason, excuse me, he can be a restricted free agent. I think the team hopes to keep him and thinks he can be a fourth-line guy here on a competitive contending team. What have you thought about McEwen's play this season?
Well, I think he's shown himself to be a really good teammate. You even saw it last night. He's in there, and he's winning puck battles. He's sticking up for teammates, as we've seen all season. He's not, you know, and self-admittedly, you heard him talk in the interview. He's not a guy who possesses this outrageous amount of offensive skill, but he knows that. He knows exactly who he is as a player, and he plays to his strengths. And his strengths are, as you said, being a fourth liner, going in there, grinding, being hard to play against, and sticking up for his teammates and occasionally getting the offensive opportunity, which we've seen. He's always around the net. And a guy that wins puck battles and is always around the net, I think always has a role in this league for a team. So I would say he's definitely carved himself out a role. And you hear him in the interview talk about glowingly about Philadelphia. So he obviously likes being here. And I think it was a good find for the Flyers. And I do think he'll be with the team going forward for sure.
Absolutely. And it's funny, you look at his stat sheet for the season, he has 5 points, he doesn't play over 10 minutes a game, but like he's constantly noticeable, and not just noticeable by like a big hit or a fight, like there's a shift here and there, Joe, where he does something really good offensively, you know, in the offensive zone where he's making a play along the boards, or like you said, constantly going to the net, like I notice him every game, and I just feel like,
you know. You definitely notice him, and again, like, this team, I feel like this team this year has lacked guys that go into the corners and win puck battles, and he is not one of them. He goes into the corner and wins puck battles. The trouble is he's on the fourth line. The fourth line is not the line you look to for scoring.
Yep.
So I think possibly if you have him through an offseason and a training camp, and maybe his style of play and his willingness to go into those areas that are not fun to go into and win puck battles and do these sort of things, maybe that can be infectious to the rest of the team. And you know, that I think that's winning battles along the wall. That's how you wear other teams down, playing that style. And you know, he's never ever shown, like you said, he's noticeable every single game. And I think guys that are noticeable every game are, you know, always have a place for teams in this league.
Absolutely. And it doesn't hurt that he likes to fight and likes to stand up for teammates. And there's still a role for that in this league. There 100% is. You look at all the good teams, they all have a guy that's a fearless fighter or a guy that's willing to drop the gloves at the drop of a hat. So, and Zach McEwen's one of those guys. And you think about it, if the Flyers can't bring back Rasmus Ristolainen, that's a massive physical presence, an agitator that's gone. Makes McEwen probably even more important because he is fearless. He will fight, and that stuff is still needed. And one thing I've liked about Zach McEwen and my time around him is he is constantly, like, always one of the first guys on the ice and one of the first guys to leave it. Like, he's a rink rat. He's just really down-to-earth guy that likes to work hard, but really he's always one of, like, the first two, three guys on the ice, if not the first, for practice. And he's one of always like the last ones to leave it, whether it be warm-ups in a game or extra work after practice. Just guy that puts his head down, likes to work, likes to do things to get better. Says a lot about, you know, a player that's hasn't played a ton of games in this league, a little over 100 games in this league, and he's still looking to get better. Real nice, you know, nice find by the Flyers on waivers at the beginning, towards the beginning of the season. So great stuff from Taron Hatcher with Zach McKeown.
And Jordan, I should mention last night when the Flyers entered the building wearing the high school jerseys from the Flyers Cup, the upcoming Flyers Cup participants, he was wearing my alma mater, Springfield Delco jersey. Zach McKeown was wearing, which I noticed in some of the photos that the Flyers posted. So he was rocking the Springfield Cougars, Delaware County representing.
Joe, that's awesome. I saw McKeown, but I didn't know which jersey he was wearing. Like, I couldn't decipher it, but that's really funny. I didn't know it was Springfield. That's great.
Yeah.
Delco proud. Representing. That was really cool by the Flyers to do that. And it was cool to see all the local teams. Like, obviously, you could point a lot of them out. So very cool. That's awesome stuff. Joe Fordyce, thank you so much as always. Can't wait to see you and chat with you. We'll be back at it next week. Flyers still have two more home games on this homestand, so plenty to cover and plenty to evaluate. But Joe, thank you so much as always. A major thank you to Ben Berry, our podcast producer and guru. Big thanks to Taron and Zach McKeown for having that great interview for us. And of course, Flyers fans, as always, thank you for listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast presented by Great Railing. Wherever you get your podcasts, please rate and listen, and we can't wait to talk to you next time.